Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Andy, how you doing this evening? We're going to do some Super Bowl props.
There are some props to be had. Yes. My head is spinning from doing research. I don't even know if I really did any research. I just read props for a long time and thought that there's too damn many, but there's still some stuff I'm going to be betting.
I love it. So Super Bowl Propapalooza, who better to have as a special guest than the queen of props herself, Monique, the Parlay Queen on Twitter? I feel like everybody out there is talking Super Bowl props, but only one podcast that you can find on your Twitter dial has the magnificent insight of Monique, the Parlay Queen.
Prop Queen was taken. I just went and checked on that. Somebody snagged that a few months before.
Smart idea, because that was going to be my secondary account, so they beat me to the punch. But I'm doing very well. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, super happy you could be on. I'm sure you have a busy week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, how is your week looking?
You know, it's exciting. I can never complain when I'm doing research for something like the Super Bowl. How can I ever complain? It's once a year, so, you know, a little bit busier with handicapping and studying. You can never complain about that.
I love it. Did you have a good Pegasus Cup?
You know, it's tough. I wasn't really, like, I haven't been that big into racing this year compared to all the other ones. And I mean, to be like completely honest, I didn't like the race. I thought Gunrunner would win. I didn't like the price. Didn't love anyone. I thought it was a particularly weak field. So I kind of stayed away from it, to be perfectly honest. Obviously, I watched the race, but I didn't have much action.
Okay.
What was the closing price? Or what was the paid out price?
He went off at four to five and something.
It was
not good.
Felt like, yeah. I think everyone kind of felt the same way about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll put horse racing on the shelf since we have so much Super Bowl insight to bestow upon the Deep Dive listeners. I want to kind of, I guess, ask a couple questions to you guys, see what you think some of your favorite memories of Super Bowl props were. This is, first of all, this will be my 17th or 18th year betting on the Super Bowl. The first Super Bowl bet I placed was the first
old man.
I'm an old geezer in this space, man. The first Super Bowl I remember betting was Pats Rams in, was that 01, I think, or actually it was 2002, because it was, yeah, it was the 01 season, but it was in 2002. So this is only my 17th Super Bowl. And back then it was like, you know, side and total money line. Like, that was it, right? And nowadays we, you know, I don't know, like, you know, how many years ago that this exploded into just a crazy prop extravaganza. But, you know, you open the prop tabs on any of the offshores now, and there's 2,000 options. It's almost, it's like kind of overwhelming. You know, I guess, you know, do you have any particularly memorable experiences betting Super Bowl props over the last few years, Monique?
Yeah, Super Bowl props, it's crazy to see what it's turned into. You know, for me, if I don't really have a particular strong feeling on the game, which unfortunately this is what I'm having this year, I just love Super Bowl props. I'm really a big fan this year of the ones that are players versus cross sports.
Oh,
we started,
yes,
seeing that like the past couple of years, but really this year there's been so many. I love those. As far as memorable ones go, for me, we were talking about earlier how I said my guilty pleasure are betting on like the anthem and the halftime show. So one of those things, I remember last year I got it really early. I got the bet in really early, so I was lucky. It was Luke Bryant to wear jeans. I remember I got that, and then the odds went huge. It was like -400 what it closed at. But I remember I got that, and for me, it's so degenerate. But you know, for me, my opinion on when an artist performs, they want to showcase their true self. You got to kind of look into the evolution of the artist. Like for Pink, for example, you know, she's trying to come out with this new look where she's more mature than what she used to be, per se. So, you know, some of those trends you look into, and they're a lot of fun to bet. So that was one that stood out to me. And that, I, in my opinion, that was a lock. So I was happy to get that at a decent price early.
Oh, that's great. Okay, well, that leans right into some questions I have for you in the pregame props that we're going to get to in a second. But before I get there, Andy, I guess what's your strategy when it comes to Super Bowl props? Like, what fraction of your bankroll or your betting on the day of the Super Bowl are you going to put into props versus side and total here?
Oh, it. I suppose it really varies. It depends how deep. This is the first year, I think, in a while that I don't have a future on one of the two teams that made it this far. I had a lot of Patriots to win the AFC. I had Vikings, Eagles, Rams, or Vikings, Saints, Vikings, Falcons, Rams in the NFC. So last year I had some Falcons to win it at 10-1 pre playoffs, and I ended up hedging quite a bit on the Patriots. And I didn't do a whole lot of props. I did some stat props, and I didn't do any of the real fun ones last year because I went completely overboard on the Alabama-Clemson game last year. Like I think I'd have to go back. I should go find that. I bet 25 to 30 different props in that game. It was too much. Like, I was cheering for 8 different things at once. But I will start to do a little more of the pregame stuff. And like Monique said, if you want to actually – prop or cap something, like the cross sport ones where you can start, you know, capping a basketball game and looking at, you know, how it compares to whatever they're putting. There's so many of those. You can really pick and choose some things there if you want to be going like points and rebounds versus, you know, total yards for a running back or something, whatever they have there. I haven't looked too much at those yet, but those feel like something you could actually put some actual, you know, research into.
I love it. I'll never forget back in like the year that the Patriots lost to the Giants, I think.
Which one?
The first second time.
I couldn't say that fast time.
I'm a Patriots fan, so that stinks. Thank you very much, sir. Was it the year that they were perfect? It was the year that Brady took an intentional grounding call in the end zone, and the first score was a safety. I remember hearing like on some podcast or some kind of like, you know, special betting, you know, deep or read on some forum or something, like the safety prop is guaranteed lock. No, there's never been a safety in the Super Bowl. And then sure enough, it was the first. First score in that game. And I remember thinking, like, I had looked up the odds for it, and it was like 20-1 that it would be the first or last score. And then the next year, I was like, you know, they didn't adjust the odds. And I was like, huh. I was like, that's interesting. So I bet the first or last score would be a safety the following year. And that was Niners Ravens, and I don't know if you guys remember what happened, but at the very end of that game,
on purpose,
the punter ran it out of the back of the end zone, took the safety.
I've told that story. That's the most I've ever won on a Super Bowl board.
Oh god, dude, how great was that?
That got me the fourth quarter on the big one where I was in the 1 year. That was because he looked like he might not go out of bounds for a second. He was running around a little. I'm like, no, go.
No. It was crazy. So instead of 34-29, it was 34-31. I hit that 20-1 on the last score, first to last score of safety that year. And
that's
bet it again the next year. And didn't have to wait. Didn't have to bite my nails till the end of the game that year. Peyton Manning just got the ball snapped when he was like staring up at the stands, and went right back to the end zone. I think Sean Moreno recovered it and got tackled, so the first score was a safety that year. So 3 years in a row, it hit. I hit two of those three. We haven't seen a safety since. But I don't know if you guys caught wind of this last year, but last year, like, there was just widespread consensus, like, oh, all the sharps bet no OT. Like, there's never been an overtime in the Super Bowl. There never will be. Blah blah blah. It's minus 1,000. Like, there's so much value there. So many of the of the Joes just bet yes OT because that's what they want. So there's value in this, in the no OT. And sure enough, last year 28-3, you were probably feeling pretty good about no OT cashing. But that one went down in flames as like a minus 1,000 prop. So, you know, be careful what you, what you hear people kind of beating the drum of as far as a prop block goes, because these truly are pretty, pretty fucking random. So, with that said, there's a lot of fun ones this year. Again, they must have as much fun making these props as we do betting them, because there's some outstanding ones. But let's talk about some of the pregame prop first. How do you go about handicapping the national anthem, Monique?
I guess the best way is to, I mean, when I handicap it, I compile a list, or thank God for YouTube or people that put this together, but the list of the previous times of the anthem, and you want to stick to something in the same genre. So you don't want to take a jazz singer and compare it to a pop singer. It's going to be totally different stylistically. And then in particular, I like to look at whoever's performing the anthem, their live performances. So usually you won't find something, but sometimes you get lucky in the sense that you'll find someone performing like an MLB game, and then you can see that and judge times and just stylistically how a singer sings. I think you can tell a lot from that. And I mean, I'm shocked at the way the odds are, but I was on the under as well as the time, but yeah, I'm shocked to see that everyone else, I guess, caught on to what I researched into. Unfortunately, I didn't bet yet, so I'm bitter.
I was kind of surprised. I'm looking at the current numbers on Five Dimes, and it seems like they have a pretty good idea that this is going to land in a really narrow window. Right now, over 122 seconds is plus 10, but under 120 seconds is plus 120. That's surprising to me that they think they're comfortable kind of, you know, creating a weird mini arbitrage here. Saying that the anthem is going to land in this 2-second window. We're pretty confident in that. That's
tough too, because you can't really find Pink actually singing the national anthem, so you don't really know. You can compare how she sang other songs, but you can't compare her singing an anthem at one other event to this. So, I mean, I searched for it. I couldn't find it. Maybe there is something out there, but, you know, it is tough. And obviously there's that little window for a reason, because you're just taking averages of times other performers have, you know, taken to sing the anthem, but it's tough. It's one of those that it's going to be close. You know that it's going to be close to the total, and everyone's going to have their timers out ready.
any likelihood that this goes over just on the basis of it being indoors and it being warm and she's trying to put on a show and show off her vocals? Or do you think this is kind of a red herring?
She's not one of those singers that over embellishes. That's, I guess, the best way of putting it. It's one of those things where they're going to take their moment, and she's been in the spotlight. I mean, maybe not so much anymore, but she's kind of had her time where she's been in the spotlight. She doesn't really need to, you know, make a name for herself. She's already established in that sense. So I wouldn't think that she'd go on a whole bunch of runs during the anthem. She's kind of, I guess, like a sings, I don't even know if classier is the right word, but she just sings like straight. She'll sing it the way it's made to be sung, I guess, for
the way Mr. Key wrote it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you have those things that put in all those runs and try to change the way that it melodically sounds, but I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case.
I like it. So you mentioned a little bit, like, she's kind of straightening up her kind of a picture image, and she's kind of presenting more of a grown-up Pink than what we've seen in the past. Does she still use an exclamation point instead of the letter I in her name? Probably not.
I think that's only Kesha that dropped the dollar sign in her name. Okay. I don't know. I think she goes with that. But yeah, she's one of those artists that, you know, I'm not a pop music fan, but I think the Super Bowl are one of those things where you stick to what you're known for. And she has been trying to redo her image. Obviously, age probably plays into account and the fan base. She's not one of those artists that are putting out new music, which is going to, you know, appeal to the One Direction fans. But
of course,
I think it's going to be pretty traditional in terms of what she puts on as a performance.
Does that present any value then in, even though it's a little juicy, in does not show cleavage or super or hair color blonde platinum?
Somebody was tweeting about the green, possible green hair because she's a big Eagles fan. And it's a big plus number if you want to take a swing at that. Not a huge number, but it was 3-1 or something for green hair, which I think just blonde or platinum was a huge favorite. This is so silly. We're talking about it. I'm trying to keep my shit. And I'm looking too. I don't know if you guys follow the, you know, Gup, the golf guy.
Yeah.
His wife has picked the anthem over under right like 8 years in a row.
Wow.
I'm waiting. It's something like that. I'm waiting to see what she says.
Mrs. Gup. Okay.
Mrs. Gup. So wait for Mrs. Gup on that one.
Well, I kind of like Monique's angle of kind of, you know, Pink being a little bit more grown up here, and she doesn't go green hair, but maybe she says Eagles live on mic. Maybe after it's over, she's got to go Eagles or a go Philly. And that number out there right now is +177. That seems a little generous.
I like that one. I actually, for my video for covers, I gave that one out. It was more her reaction initially to when she was named as singing the national anthem, how she tweeted, how she's so excited that the Eagles are in the Super Bowl and she can't believe she's performing she's performing the anthem. So to me, it's like, obviously she's from Philly, so that helps. And she's been tweeting here and there about the Eagles' success. So it's not like she's just like a newfound fan or bandwagon fan. I mean, so I think it's possible. And I think there's value there, obviously, in the fact that it went up, because I initially saw it at +115. So the fact that it's up and going up, probably, I like it. I think there's value in that.
Nice. Great tip. How about the coin toss? Monique, do you bet on the coin toss?
I don't. I guess it's my bias because I would always pick heads. So I get angry when people pick tails. I always think, why would you pick tails? But no, I don't. It's one of those things I feel like I would be too angry. Tails always fails for me. It's one of those things I'd be so angry. I can't set the mood in a wrong note. Like, I can't start the Super Bowl off losing. I'd be
with
so 50, tilted. 50
loss. Yeah. Great point. What, you know, you're not the only person who always calls heads. This was kind of a commonly, you know, referenced story last year. And I wonder if this is influencing things a little bit this year. People knew going into that, that Super Bowl last year, like, you know, the special teams captain, Matthew Slater, always called heads or tails for the Pats. He had like 6 straight years. He had always called heads. Everybody knew it. Everybody, you know, I think they eventually just had to take the line down. Oh, you know what? I remember reading a story. Bookmaker just had some kind of young guy, like, you know, lining the coin toss props, and he didn't know about Matthew Slater's like 6-year history of calling heads, and so he just had even odds on heads and tails, and they had like a 5-figure liability if heads was called by the team calling. And
I remember that. Like, yeah, do your research.
Yeah. So, but this year there's heavy juice on the team calling will call heads. I'm wondering, are people confused? They think the Patriots are going to call it again? I think because this year it's an even number Super Bowl. Patriots are the home team. They got to pick the color jerseys. They pick white. And the away team gets to call the toss. That's the way that the rules work as far as I understand them. So are people just confused that they think the Patriots are going to call heads even though they don't get to call it? Or is there like some Philly tendency where we can try to expect Philly to call heads here? Because I'm seeing -140 that the team calling the coin toss will call heads. Interesting.
Wildly Googling stuff.
I know, yeah.
I didn't look if there was a tendency, but I think it probably takes into account. I don't really remember. I know last year was heads. I think the year before that was heads. It must have been just like taking into account the last maybe 10 Super Bowls, the teams calling heads, and that must have played a factor.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. It's pretty even over the years, I think, heads versus tails. It's something like It's something like 47% tails, 40. You know, it's 50. It's pretty even, I believe, over the. It was 27 and 24. Yeah, 27 over time, tails, I'm sure, 24 heads. Yeah.
Maybe recently.
Interesting. Last kind of pregame.
It's crazy how much money. How much money is going to change hands before the game even starts? Just between the two things we just talked about, there's going to be just coin toss and anthem props, or all there's like five different coin toss props on five dimes. Like, will the team who wins the coin toss win the game? Will the team who, you know, will the coin toss be called correctly? It can really get wild.
I'll tell you what I laugh about is that they line at minus 101. Like, they're obviously trying to induce, like, people to bet on heads or tails just to kind of get people going. Like, just give it to them at even odds. Like, you really need to take that little teeny sliver of how many people bet on it? Like, you know, just give it to them for even odds. It's silly. But instead, it's minus 101. Okay, good job, guys. Last kind of pregame prop I wanted to ask you about, Andy. Is Belichick going to wear a hoodie? That's lined at plus 130.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know where you. I'm looking at five dimes here. Belichick wears a hoodie during the game, minus 105. Yeah.
Oh, it's down to minus 105.
Yeah, he wears a hoodie. That's what he does.
Dude, earlier today it was plus 130 when I did the rundown. Yeah, that's incredible.
People are getting beat. The books are gonna get beat up on that. I don't know.
I might have to
hunt into that one a little, but I feel like he'll probably wear a hoodie. It's what he's comfy in.
I like that. Okay. Well, I liked his fedora that he got off the plane with yesterday. Did you guys catch Belichick's fashion statement and arriving in Minnesota yesterday?
Yeah, he looked like a gangster.
That was fantastic. All right, let's get serious here. Let's talk about a little bit of these favorite player stat props. This can get overwhelming because there are 1,000 of them. There's pretty much every player on every squad rushing, on the offense, rushing, receiving, receptions, touchdowns, all of this sort of stuff. Are there a handful that jumped out at you as you kind of went down the list, Monique?
Not really. There's a couple that I like, but they're mostly pretty much revolving around the same player, just kind of doubling down on them. I like Jay Ajayi over 24 and a half receiving yards. I think it's one of those where the Patriots struggle to contain pass catching running backs. I think that he had 25 receiving yards in both of the previous playoff games versus Falcons and Vikings, which obviously those defenses are a lot better versus running backs receptions, I guess, is a way of putting it. Then I also like Jay Ajayi over 2.5 receptions. You're getting plus 115 on that, which I like. And then I think Danny Amendola has another good game. I see his total at 44.5. I also like him for a touchdown score anytime at plus 175.
Ooh, nice looks. Andy, anything stick out for you?
Yeah, I had Amendola over 4.5 catches marked down. I just feel like he's going to be getting a lot of that over the middle stuff, and maybe if they decide, you know, we need to take Gronkowski away from him, that's going to be the go-to target there. I think you're going to want to take away the deep stuff to Cooks and try to maybe double Gronkowski. Amendola get some catches. I have Torrey Smith under 2.5 catches. I don't know why, really. I just felt like that. I felt like he's not going to be a big part of the game plan. Maybe I'm just kind of grasping at straws at that one. That felt a little high. I'm going to have to look back at what he's done game by game, but he seems like the more of a deep threat too, where they're going to try to take some of that away. And then Gostkowski over 8 points. I'm leaning on the over. I might bet both kickers over 8 points to kind of hedge my over. Because if they're getting down there and they're not getting touchdowns, you got to think 8 points is reachable. Because I'm still very excited about the over. I'll probably have it. I'll be live betting it if it's a slow start. And yeah, I think Elliott was over 7.5 and Gostkowski was over 8.
Wow, nice, Nice looks. Monique, I remember I saw your covers video, which was excellent, by the way, as always. And you like Gronkowski, yes, to be medically cleared. Do you think that there's a little gamesmanship going on with the Patriots and how fit he is and how ready he is to contribute on Sunday?
I do. I like to see that he was back in practice. I would say it was earlier than expected. I think it's the Super Bowl. I think they'll be more lenient on letting him play. And I remember reading a stat that in situations like this, I think it was 4 out of 5 situations where there was someone who got a concussion in a prior week or a week, 2 weeks prior to that, ended up playing in the Super Bowl. And I think that he's obviously one of the most recognizable players on the Patriots, and helps that it is the Patriots. And yeah, I think he'll be playing.
Any idea if he would be more likely like a decoy, or do you think he's going to be an impactful player in the game?
I think if he's fit enough to be playing, that he could potentially make an impact. I don't think he would be much of a decoy, but I do see where you're coming from. But I think that if he's in there playing and he's playing close to the amount of snaps he normally does, I would say, yeah, I think he could potentially have an impact. He obviously is one of their best players. So.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I think he plays.
The three player props that really stuck out to me. I'll start with one I really agree strongly on with Monique here, is Philly relying on the short passing game to the running backs. That's, you know, we saw some no-name guy from the Jaguars have a day in the short passing game against the Patriots. We know they're vulnerable there. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at this team on film, look at the roster, and see that the front seven for the Patriots lacks speed. I think that, you know, that and the likelihood to take a little bit of pressure off Foles, get him some early easy completions to the running backs, makes a ton of sense. The Patriots will probably look at the weapons and look at who they can take away, and they're probably going to try to use single coverage on the wide receivers outside and look to use their double opportunities to make it tough to get to Ertz. Jay Ajayi as an over receptions as an over receiving yards makes a ton of sense. I was surprised that the third down back, Clement, for the Eagles, he had a really favorable line on receptions over 2.5 at +170. My general thought on betting player props in big games like this is you might as well swing for the fences. I don't think that a lot of these are going to come in right at the numbers. So you might as well, you know, look for some player props where you're going to get a pretty favorable payday. This is a great example of this, especially, you know, if this is a high scoring game, you could either see two things play out here. Either the Eagles have some success early on, born out of this short passing game, converting third downs with some of these passes to the running backs, Clement being, I think, an X factor. Or you think, you know, this goes the other way and the Patriots just, you know, race out to a huge lead, and then you get the Eagles have to, play catch up, where you're going to see lots and lots of passing attempts and, you know, fair share of those are probably going to end up going to the running backs to extend drives and whatnot. So Clement pass over receptions was my favorite look on the props over 2.5 at +170. I also like Brady touchdown passes over. And I was surprised to see that over 2 was lined at like -130 something. Over 2.5, you're getting +145. You know, this is the kind of game where, you know, Brady, I think, sees the writing on the wall. He's going to be going forward in the red zone to kind of pad his legacy here. And I don't think that you're going to see a lot of red zone opportunities taken away by the running backs here. When the Patriots score touchdowns, it's going to be passing touchdowns. And over 2.5 makes a great look for me at +145. If I had to predict Brady's stat line, I think I'm looking for about 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and 1 pick. The last look that I'm going to go for here is Nelson Aguilar over receptions. Over receiving yards, over 44.5 at +100. I mentioned kind of the Patriots' strength on their defense really is their ability to cover the edge receivers, and I think that that will create opportunities for Aguilar playing out of the slot. You know, again, I see a game playing out where the Eagles are playing catch up for a lot of this game, and I think Aguilar over the middle getting kind of the easy yards in prevent defense scenarios is probably a pretty likely thing to play out in the second half of this game. So I'm going to take over 44.5 yards at plus 100. Anything else as you're going through the card? Anything else you're thinking or looking for, Andy?
I mean, just a couple things I jotted down. This is a fun one at five dimes. I'm going to have to pull this one up again. Well, I told Will this off air. I have five different sports books open right now trying to sort through everything. It's a mess, but where is it? Alfred Bovada. Will there be a roughing the passer penalty called? Even money on yes. Tom Brady's in the game. The refs love him. That's silly. Lock of the century there. And then
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. That seems, if they go anywhere low, I mean, the people get blocked into quarterbacks nowadays and they'll call it. I mean, that's just something that happens quite a bit. And I don't know what my notes mean here. I just wrote down rotation numbers, so I'm searching them right now. Oh, Golden Knights playoff series one. Which will be more, Golden Knights, the Vegas hockey team, playoff series one, or Super Bowl fumbles lost? And it's about even. It's minus 105 for playoff series one. I feel like the Knights will probably make at least the conference finals. You think there's going to be more than two fumbles lost? I don't know. That's just that's something I'm gonna look at the fumble numbers and see what kind of I don't even follow hockey, and I'm thinking about betting this one. And then my other fun one I found that I wrote down, this one, 8031 for the rotation number on five dimes. It is total quarterback combined sacks minus a half, juiced at minus 140 over the total rebounds for one Brock Lopez. Lakers. I just have that one down because they put him in as Brock Lopez, which would make me laugh.
I
questioned it for a second. I'm like, is there a third one that I don't know about?
Lopez brother?
Yeah, so I almost want to bet that just to see if they'll cash it so I can argue with it. Like, okay. It's not Brock Lopez.
There are so many fun ones as you go down the card here. We're gonna save some for the end and do some hot, get your hot takes on some of these. So we'll circle back on some of these opportunities to find fun matchups. But before we get to the kind of the big ones here, first touchdown, MVP, whatnot, let's talk about the halftime show a little bit. Is there any? I guess I'm seeing interesting stuff here. Justin Timberlake's shoe color. Will there be an NSYNC appearance? Blah blah blah. Anything stick out to you, Monique, here in terms of taking a swing on, say, first song prop? I'm looking. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Yeah, no. I do like the first song prop. I don't know about his appearance. I think. I don't know about that one, but first song prop I like. There's a lot of those songs that are listed, which are, I guess, dated. I would assume he would come out with a song that's, well, first of all, he's going to come out with a song, in my opinion, that's going to be upbeat. You got to get the crowd going. You got to have something with a good beat line. That's one thing I've noticed looking through the past halftime shows. You always start with a song with a good bass line. It's important to get your musicians in the groove, the audience in the groove. So I like, obviously, for good reason, and it's the Chalk Can't Stop the Feeling. It's a catchy song. Yeah. People are into it. And I also like Rock Your Body. I think, although it is an older song, it's one of those with a good groove to it. I think that has a lot of value for being first song. I think he might perform it even if it's not, but I think there's definite value in taking that for his first song. So I've narrowed it down to two.
Okay, those are both good looks. I like your call there on Can't Stop the Feeling. That one does feel like a real good opener. Andy, any chance we see a left shark appearance in this halftime show?
Oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought about Left Shark. I miss that guy. That was a good halftime show.
The Katy Perry halftime show is one of my favorites.
People bitch about the halftime show sometimes, but they're always fun, especially now, because they do stupid stuff like that, and they'll bring extra people, and they're always good. So
They are what they are.
You know, it's 45 minutes where you can go hit the crock pots and get some more mini wieners and whatever you're doing at the party there. I love that look on Can't Stop the Feeling. That has – everybody knows that song, even people who don't like – pop music all that much, just because it was in the damn kids movie. My kids love that song, and it got a lot of play. That's a good one to start with. It is obviously chalk, but it's still plus money. You can get plus 250 at Five Dimes right now on that. And then the other ones, like you can what color his shoes will be and stuff like that. I am leaning towards JT wearing a hat.
Ooh, he does seem like a hat guy. Yeah. Interesting.
It feels like a hat performance, like he might take it off later, but I think he'll come out with the hat, and then I don't know about the NSYNC thing. I want to bet my heart wants some Bye Bye Bye.
What?
But
I didn't know you were an NSYNC hat.
No, I'm not. I'm just goofy.
What about a Britney Spears throwback? Oh, any chance?
Oh my god, no, that's not even an option. I would bet that though.
That's interesting. Got her gig in Vegas, her full-time gig in Vegas, so she might be interesting, and everyone obviously loves them together still, even though they haven't been together in like literally 10 years. It might be
even farther. I feel like they were a thing in 1999. Yeah.
And back when his hair looked like ramen noodles.
Yeah, that's right. Who, I guess anyone else that you think would make a decent surprise guest, Monique?
No, but I think you were onto something with who you were thinking with Pharrell. I think you're onto something with that one.
Yeah, I like that look a lot. If I can find good odds on Pharrell, I'm probably going to grab some of that. He does seem like the kind of is within the sphere of Justin Timberlake. They have some collaborations together. They have some collaborations on his new album together. Pharrell has some of his own stuff that everybody knows. And so that does kind of check a lot of the boxes when I'm looking for who the likely surprise guest at the halftime show is going to be. I guess I need to do a little bit more research on this before finalizing my pick of who the halftime surprise guest is. You kind of want to know who's not on tour or who's about to go on tour who they're whispering about. I guess a lot of people are whispering about Chris Stapleton. He seems like he kind of fits the mold of NFL fan, country music fan crossover. He's got a single coming out with Justin Timberlake, so that would make some sense, I suppose. Not a huge Chris Stapleton fan myself, so maybe I'm not thinking that way just because I don't want it to be that. But
isn't he a little slow, though? Like
a little bit, yeah.
Doesn't it not really fit, though? I see where people are getting at, and obviously looking ahead with singles coming out, yeah. But Are they going to do that song? Probably not. I don't even know if it was recorded yet, but I don't really think he fits the music, the style.
I wanted to look for like a Jay-Z prop potentially, just because that sometimes
he's everywhere.
He's everywhere, exactly. But I learned a little, or at least I read a little nugget. He actually turned down the NFL and kind of said some rather unflattering things about them in the wake of the Colin Kaepernick stuff, so probably won't be seeing Jay-Z, I don't think.
Here's what I'm seeing on God, I don't even know what tab I'm on. But online will Justin Timberlake cover a Prince song during halftime? Ooh. And it's minus 250 to the yes. So somebody knows something. That's heavy.
Oh, dude! See, this is why we do this.
It's in Minnesota.
I love stuff
like
this. That absolutely sounds like inside information. I want to get.
I saw
get
that as
that
well.
For sure.
I saw that with the same line that you're talking about. I actually recently just saw it too. And obviously, he was a huge influence, and he's stylistically so similar to Timberlake. And they've been doing a lot of covers recently. Like Super Bowl performances have been filled with a lot of covers. So, and obviously, if someone's betting that, that's too obscure to be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yep. I think it all adds up.
In Minnesota, Prince is a Minnesota artist. I guess that makes sense, but boy, that's a heavy juice on that. That's surprising. I hadn't seen that at other books yet.
I think what Prince passed away between the last Super Bowl and this Super Bowl, it being in Minnesota, yeah. I think all of this kind of adds up. Didn't Prince had like a super famous Super Bowl halftime performance himself, I believe. Like that was
about seven, eight years ago. Yeah.
That seems like a one worth laying the juice on right there. I like it, man. Good luck. Any other interesting Super Bowl halftime props? And then we want to dive into the big ones here. Anything else you're seeing?
Yeah, that's. I'm gonna try to parlay that with something. We'll see if it lets me do this. Oh man.
Last does it? No.
No.
Oh shit.
We'll try a few other things.
Anyway, Super Bowl just in general, kind of as far as how it affects the handicap of the game, you'll probably hear this other places too. In real time, it tends to take like 35 to 45 minutes, depending on how elaborate the set pieces and the crowd pieces are and whatnot. And they continue to kind of push the envelope on that. So you could be talking about each team kind of sitting in the locker room for, you know, upwards of, you know, 30 minutes here, just waiting for their opportunity to come back out on the field. In the past, teams that have experienced this before and that are prepared for this, have kind of made the most out of this. Maybe no better example than last year with the Patriots kind of using the break to pull their acts together a little bit. Granted, it took them a whole nother quarter before they really pulled their heads out of their asses. But, it's something that leans in favor of the Patriots with the Eagles having, not experienced a game before where they're going to have to sit around for 40 minutes or so and wait for the play to resume.
You can bet on how many times they'll talk about McNabb throwing up before the last Super Bowl. I saw that one too.
What's your hot take on that? Are they going to mention it?
It was like over 1.5 times, so I don't know if they're going to mention it twice. So we're just going to let that one. That feels like a sharp line.
It does. The last time they met was that Super Bowl in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you're going to get one mention of it at least. So, who knows?
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It could come early.
You could put that. Yeah. You could put that one away early if they mention it in the pregame and then it's brought up again at halftime or after halftime. Yeah.
Does the pregame count? Or
I think you after always it starts check after the anthem. Right?
There's a lot of that. You have to check if halftime counts, if pregame counts, because every book is a little different. And we were talking going into the big ones too. We were talking about that. Boy, if you have multiple online books or you have a credit guy and an online one, you should be checking on some of that stuff because there are some wild variation in prices on some of these just for, you know, any score, first score, MVP, some of that stuff. There's some huge jumps and differences.
Absolutely. Great advice there, Andy. And that leans right into our next topic here, which are the big boys here. So, kind of the fun, at least, you know, the fun ones, you know, I'm probably going to be, you know, betting $20, $50 type of wagers on, but I'll probably put a little, or at least I'll try to get a higher payday here on first touchdown of the game and MVP. These are ones where you can kind of, you know, do a little bit more sophisticated handicap, I think. Is there anything that stands out to you, Monique, on first touchdown scored?
Yeah, I liked Amendola. I think he's gonna have another good game, like I said earlier. And I like the 12-1 odds. I think that's super generous. If Gronk is more like a not a facade, but more like just a filler just to take away from the game, perhaps if it is like a short red zone opportunity, Gronk would be who everyone would expect the target to go to. I think he could definitely go to Amendola. I like 12-1 on that. I don't know how many touchdowns are going to be scored in the game. That's another thing to consider. But I like the value at 12-1 on that one. That's one that stood out to me. I wouldn't take anything less than 10-1 in general on first touchdown score. And it's not something I'm obviously a huge fan of, but I think the value is there.
How about you, Andy? Who are you going with for first touchdown scored?
Oof. So the Eagles, you don't know who wins the toss. Like, I'm trying to think who's going to end up with the ball. I don't know what the Eagles normally do if they win the toss, but I feel like the Patriots always defer. I kind of want to go with an Eagle. Maybe like a guy.
You think the Eagles take? You think the Eagles get are more likely to get the ball first, regardless of who wins the toss, just because of the Patriots' propensity to defer?
Yeah, man. Maybe the Eagles just take the ball and want to go down and set a tone. I haven't looked too much at the prices, but maybe like an Ajayi or any even some Blount action if they get down close. Yeah, I'm very bad at first touchdown scores. I don't know if I've ever won one of those. I will be playing some any time score, but yeah, I'm seeing Gronk at like 4. If it is a Patriot, it's boy, it could be anybody. Amendola, the Patriots are. Oh, that's just any time or first touchdown for the Patriots. No wonder those numbers suck. I'm way off. Yeah, I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go with Blount. That's my guy.
I like it. I agree with Monique that Amendola makes a nice look for first touchdown. I'm also going to grab Cooks, and there's two reasons. I think there's a possibility that Patriots do try to work out a home run play early on. I expect they try to establish sort of an up-tempo, higher scoring game earlier on. I don't think they really want to get into a slug it out with the Eagles. I think they want to get, they'd be more comfortable in a track meet. It is an indoor stadium. It is a fast turf. Brandon Cooks is the kind of guy that can get separation against these Philly defenders, and he could hit a home run early on here and score the first touchdown. I also like another wrinkle in this, which is the Philadelphia Eagles defense struggles against up-tempo offense. And I think that will incentivize the Patriots to run a little bit more no-huddle, especially out of the gate. Amazingly, Cooks has caught every touchdown pass from Tom Brady out of the no-huddle offense. I don't even know how that's possible, but for whatever reason, they must have a play.
That's crazy. That was nuts.
100%. So, so obviously they have a player or two in their no-huddle arsenal that really opens something up for Cooks in the red zone. And I think actually the odds might be reflecting this a little bit because, given his kind of fraction of scoring touchdowns for the Patriots, I don't know necessarily why he would be only 9-1. So other people have obviously had these thoughts as well. But if I had to just pick one, I would look for Cooks, but Cooks and Amendola are probably both going to be in my queue somewhere. 9-1, 12-1. That's the kind of numbers you're seeing on those guys. And then I dig that. How about Super Bowl MVP? Monique, do you have your eye on anyone? It's kind of a lopsided field here. There's Tom Brady and everyone else. Anything strike your fancy in the MVP?
I don't see it going to anyone other than Tom Brady if it's the Patriots. It's just how it is. So, yeah, I'm just Tom Brady. I would never bet it because I'm seeing -163, and it is him versus the field. And I don't know how long it takes before it literally is him versus the field as a bet, but I don't see anyone else.
There is one of those already, yeah.
Well, I would probably take that then.
Yeah.
You like, I guess.
You find him at -110 at one book. Yeah.
Bovada, which, believe there, it or
yeah,
not.
Bovada of
How
all
is
books.
How is that possible?
Here's the stupidest thing. Bovada also, about six bets down and where I'm looking, offers, will Tom Brady win both the season and Super Bowl MVP? And that's at -120.
Where what?
they don't know what they're doing over there. I agree with Monique, though. If they win it, they're not giving it to anyone else, unless I did find something at BetDSI where a certain former Steeler was 225-1. Yeah. James Harrison's getting five of my American dollars at 225-1. He's only 100-1 in other books, so
that's interesting.
That's a must play.
I think we've kind of surrounded this correctly. I think if you think the Eagles win, just bet the Eagles money line. Don't pick any of these MVPs. And I think if you think the Patriots win and you want an MVP, your best bet is to take Tom Brady. He's -110 than Bovada. We just talked about. I'm looking at the number right now, and I'm shocked that they're leading the market in terms of the best price for the favorite of the Super Bowl MVP. But here we are. If there's any other Patriot that you wanted to try to grab protection on, I would look at, like, I'm looking at 18-1 on Deion Lewis, which is kind of interesting. He could, you know, if the Patriots, you know, if this gets out of hand and the Patriots are just, you know, run amok on the Eagles here, you know, I could see him kind of capturing, you know, have an impressive enough stat line, receiving yards, rushing yards. He's playing against the Eagles, who he has this perceived chip against because he was on their roster for a hot second. So, you know, if there's anyone, I guess I would look for Lewis, but anyone in the receiving game racks up particularly interesting or impressive stats, it's going to reflect equally well on Tom Brady, who's going to get the credit and get the award. So good breakdown, folks. And last of the big three here, what color will the Gatorade shower be? Andy?
Blue.
Blue.
Absolutely.
What are you taking?
I'm taking the clear / watercolor at +375. I know the Patriots have had the clear and watercolor. I'm looking at a list right now of the shower results, and I'm seeing in Super Bowl 39 they had the clear liquid. So, I mean, I don't usually bet this, but
I know. What do you mean? This is the most.
I don't usually do this sort of thing, but.
You gotta have that little sprinkle of action after the game is decided. You know what I mean? You gotta have because this is in play regardless of who wins. You know, so you gotta have that little chance to make something up if you lose on the side or if you none of your other props cash. At least you have this one in your back pocket you're trying to get. I'm gonna take the lemon lime green option. I think Belichick tipped his hand a little bit. He had a conspicuously placed lemon lime Gatorade on his dais when he was at media. You saw that. You saw that, right? That was awfully conspicuous.
Guys are too good.
I saw people tweeting that. I'm like, that doesn't.
No wonder that's favorite. I was wondering. I was like, what am I missing here? I was trying to figure it out. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, and I think. You know, I think there's a high likelihood we see that come to fruition, and Belichick missed out on his Gatorade bath last year, right? There was no Gatorade bath. That's what I saw on a couple of these
drank it all. They're like, well, we don't need to save any. We're down by.
The equipment guys just packed it up in the fourth quarter. They're like, well, we better get this out of here. We don't want to get yelled at.
Or they drank it all.
No, they drank it all. Yeah, they went to overtime. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, well, let's go lemon lime. Monique likes clear. Andy likes blue. So
blue.
Red or orange it is. Let's go down some of these hot takes here. I went through the whole list at 5 times. There were so many great ones and so many fun ones. I want to give you guys takes on a couple of these. I'm going to go back and forth here, starting with Monique. This one caught my eye immediately. I don't know who hung this prop, but LeBron James points +6.5 versus Nick Foles total pass attempts. At basically at even odds. Who do you lean here?
I'm leaning LeBron James. I like the +6.5, and I know historically he's had quite a bit of success versus the Rockets. The Eagles have had success with the balanced attack. I don't know if he's going to – I see his pass attempts at 34.5. So, I mean, getting 6.5 with James there, and I don't even think Foles goes anywhere near 34.5. I love James with that one.
And Kevin Love just broke his hand and is out for 8 weeks.
Oh.
So if you want to grab that, grab it now, because you can't hear me because this is recording. We're releasing this later. But this is just word to the wise to the two other people in here. Yeah, Kevin Love, he broke his hand. He's out for 8 weeks.
Oh boy.
That's good. None of his teammates are sad.
Yeah, I'm gonna the chances that they trickle that all the way through and get that prop corrected even before people hear this pod is pretty low. So, okay, cool. We that's a great look. Andy,
yeah, I'm finding it right now.
Actually, yeah, Monique. Before we move on, are there any other the NBA crossover ones that stuck out to you that you were keen on?
Oh yeah, there's too many. One that I covers tweeted yesterday, it was DeMar DeRozan points versus Grizzlies on February 4th versus the shortest field goal by either team. So you're getting -1.5 for the shortest field goal, and it's -110. So I think both defenses are fully capable of coming up with defensive stops. And I like that the Grizzlies are giving up the second most points per game to opposing point guards. Helps DeRozan's chances of a big game. So I like DeRozan in that one. One I actually just noticed too was which will be more Celtics made threes or Deion Lewis rush attempts.
I saw that.
I'm seeing 14.5 as Lewis's rush attempts. And as much as I want to take the Celtics, 14 made threes versus a team that's way above average in defending the three ball, I just can't take. Now, if it's 3 points attempted, I may be persuaded, but I definitely don't think they're going to make 14 threes.
Great looks. God, I'm going to have to get these in right now. Before
you gotta find one. I just bet the LeBron.
That's so good. Okay, Andy. Tottenham Liverpool total goals, +1.5 versus Alshon Jeffrey receptions. Basically even odds. A little bit of juice on Tottenham total goals, +1.5.
Where's the soccer match at?
Tottenham.
Boy, they're not great at Wembley this year. We're gonna go Alshon. Poole's been in good form. I think they can hold him. We're looking at 1-1 game there.
Okay.
And Alshon, we're gonna give it to Alshon with the
he can get three catches.
I think he's gonna get three or four, and I think we have a low scoring game at Wembley.
What if I'm wrong and it's not at Wembley?
I'm looking at it right now.
What if it's at Poole?
Oh, it's at Anfield. Ooh, boy, that's a fortress. I'm still calling it. I'm calling it 2-0 Liverpool, and we're gonna go with Alshon.
All right, I dig that. Monique, New England times penalized more than Philadelphia is +130. I was kind of shocked to see this. Well, there's been a lot of talk about it. Well, there's been so much talk. You got to think that the refs are going to have a special eye out to particularly make sure that it's evenly officiated, if not a little shaded against the Patriots, I would think. Is there any value in New England times penalized at +130?
I don't think there's value in that, but I see exactly what you're getting at. Obviously, the refs in the NFL have gotten a ton of flack over the penalties called versus opponents of the Patriots, but you have to give credit where credit is due, and obviously the Patriots have a knack for drawing opponents offside and drawing flags. So, I mean, I wouldn't take Philadelphia – sorry, I wouldn't take New England as being more penalized, but I see why the chalk is the chalk for a reason.
Interesting. Andy, Al Michaels says Vegas, yes, is +175. Am I stupid for looking at this one? There's some Vegas storylines.
I think maybe in years past, no, but just with the, you know, all the legislation that's getting pushed right now, and I mean, it's starting to snowball. It's multiple states now. I think he might say it. He might bring that up. What's the old guy that does VSiN now? I can't remember. Musburger.
Brent Musburger?
Yeah, he would always just say the fellas out in the desert. He'd never say Vegas. But, Michaels might say that.
Interesting. Okay. +175, kind of interesting number for that. Monique, I always love the safety. Yes, I always love the 2-point conversion. Yes, the kick return. Yes, the OT. Yes, these are right up my alley. And I see this year five dimes hung an or on all of these. So basically, you can get all four packaged together for plus money: safety, 2-point conversion, kick return, or OT at +115. Anything steering you away from these?
Oh gosh. I thought I was having to pick one of those, and if I were to pick, I'd pick the 2-point conversion. You know, I don't love it. I love that you're getting plus odds, but I don't love any of those, to be perfectly honest. I don't know how many opportunities you're going to get for a kick return. I don't know how close the game's going to be. Safety, I know you're a big fan of, but I don't know if I see it. I would have to take the no, but I do like that they're packaged together. That's pretty interesting. But if I were to pick one, it would be 2-point conversion, although I don't know how likely that one is.
How many punts do you think we see? I see the total is at like 8. You think that's an over or under look?
I would take the over. I don't know how many points the Eagles are going to score. I don't know.
Interesting.
The thing is, one other thing to consider is time of possession. That's one thing. A lot of the time in the Super Bowl, it feels like the time is just flying right by. And it
blows off the clock, yeah.
Yeah, that's partially due to time of possession. And I know the Eagles had the most time of possession in the league this year. And I think if they weren't first last year, too, they were obviously right up there. So I don't know. I would take the over, but I don't love it. I think the number's spot on. But yeah, I would lean towards the over.
Very interesting. Let's see. Andy, Gronkowski receiving yards, over 69.5.
Is that what they said of that? That's going to make me giggle. I bet he'd think that's funny. I'm going over. I like the linebackers. I like that defense, but I don't think anyone can guard him when he's fully healthy. I think he plays. I think he's healthy. I think he's cleared, and I think he has a good game.
Nice.
Over 69.5.
Monique, Peyton Manning appears in over 2.5 commercials, plus 145.
That's a lot of commercials. I don't know how many he appeared in that year when it was him and Eli doing a bunch of them together, but I don't remember it being 3. I think that's high. I don't know. It's hard because you don't really hear. I mean, I haven't really looked into it, but I remember last year or a couple of years ago, I wasn't looking into it, but you usually hear if he's going to appear in one. I know he'll appear in 100%. You can guarantee that, but I don't know. That's obviously a solid line. I would have to take the under, but that is tempting. Actually, plus 145, it might be worth taking a shot. But I did see Eli Manning appearing in a couple too, so I don't know if he'd do some solo, but maybe they'll do them together, and who knows?
I like it. I like it. I like it. He's got to be the face of Papa John's now, still, right? Papa's gone, and they need something.
Nobody's liking Papa John's right now.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe they don't have the money for a commercial. Who knows? Andy, Nipplegate mentioned during the game.
I'm just going to keep throwing this shit at me.
Plus 1,200.
I would need a bigger number than that for any sort of nipple-based bet.
Even though Justin Timberlake is back in the Super Bowl.
I was going to say enough time has passed. I think maybe they don't want to mention it. Or what channel was that on? And what channel
was
this one on?
It was on CBS. It's now on
CBS.
NBC.
Yeah. Maybe they throw a little shade. Maybe it's worth a tickle. Tickle
nipples. She's also a bet to be one of the guests, Janet. She could be one of the special guests. You don't know?
Well, wait, yeah. If she's a special guest.
That's free money?
That's free money.
All right. Monique, Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth says GOAT during the broadcast at plus 240.
They're both cheesy enough to say something like that.
That's
so
what
I
thought
could
too.
Definitely hear it being said. I would take a shot. Yeah, plus 240, why not? I'm in.
I dig it. All right, Andy. Dilly said over 18.5 times during the broadcast. Minus 135. They have lines on this for Dilly.
I'm going to have to go back and watch some commercials and see what the average Dilly is per 30-second spot.
Okay, important wrinkle here. Important wrinkle here.
Dilly money into the Super Bowl.
This is an important wrinkle here. Dilly said in multiple-person chorus only counts as one Dilly.
Oof. Yeah, that's a hard grade. Kickoff until final whistle.
Kickoff until final whistle. Halftime. time does apply.
And I honestly would go over on this because not only is that like their big stupid gimmick right now, and that's been the commercial, they're pushing it on Twitter and Facebook and everything where you're seeing promoted ads where like they're the king from the whatever goddamn imaginary kingdom is like congratulating both teams and dilly-dillying them and all the pit of despair and all that. I'm over. I think there's going to be just a stupid amount of those commercials.
The crossover with Philly is pretty ridiculous too. And the crossover with, that promotional crossover is really being milked pretty hard right now. Okay. Interesting. Over 18 and a half times. Let's see. 19 dillies.
19 dillies. Well,
there's more ridiculous stuff, but we've covered so much ground here today, guys. Great job. This was a super fun pod. I can't wait to watch this game and get come back and tally some of our thoughts here after the fact. Before we let you go, Parlay Queen, do you have any thoughts on how this plays out? Final score, side or total leans at this point?
My early leans are, I think the Patriots win and I like the under. That's early leans, but obviously to be determined still. We have a lot of time before the game, but I definitely think the Patriots win. 4.5 is, it's all right. I'm not jumping on that, but I think the Patriots win in the under.
I love it. Well, thanks again for your time. This was super fun. Great podcast, guys. We got more stuff coming up this week where we're going to go deep dive on the game itself. Break down our picks for the side in total here. So look out for that. And you guys have an outstanding Super Bowl Sunday.
Again, just like last time, thanks for doing way more research than us. I like that you had some facts to back some things up. I was just throwing some darts at some props. Now I totally have a LeBron prop. So.
Are you going to go... Monique, are you going to go to a Super Bowl party or you got social plans?
You know, I always try to stay away from Super Bowl parties because I'm too invested in the game and for fear of being judged. And
sure.
I get too distracted. I want to place in-game bets. That's what I've been so obsessed with Super Bowls is placing in-game bets. And I feel I'd be way too distracted at a Super Bowl party. But, you know, who knows?
Nice. So you hunker down with a good Wi-Fi connection and you're good to go.
That's true.
I love it. All right. Well, have a wonderful time. Win lots and lots of money. And we look forward to talking to you again once the horse racing season really kicks into full gear here. And thank you again for being a fantastic guest.
Thank you guys so much. And good luck this weekend.
Yeah, you too.